phone. Yeah, there you go. I'm alive. Number 5's alive. Some of you are too young for that. It's okay. We're all in our seasons. But Father, I pray now that as we get into your word, Father, that you would open our hearts, that you would focus our attention on the things that you want to speak to our spirits today. I pray, Father, that your word will bring life and light, understanding, and, Father, a desire to see your kingdom operate within us and around us. And, Father, that we would take care of the things that you call our attention to. And I thank you for the moving of your spirit among us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, you're pretty familiar. Well, I'm assuming here, and when you assume, it's not a good thing sometimes. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was talking about Jesus ascending after his resurrection. He spent 40 days with his disciples and many others and presented himself after his resurrection. And finally, he ascended. And Paul is saying that when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to mankind. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "And he himself," that's talking about Jesus, "he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." In other words, the ministry is to be done by the saints. The fivefold ministry, the gifts that Jesus gave the church, was to train all of us to be busy about the ministry that God has called all of us. Then he says, "For the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or a mature or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So Jesus, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Now, he also sent his Holy Spirit, and the Spirit had gifts for his church. But Jesus himself gave gifts so that the body of Christ can be built up. My wife and I are gifts from Jesus to you particularly. We are called as pastors and teachers. In this scripture, God is saying that we need these ministries to become perfect, to become mature, to become complete in what his plan is for us. But these gifts in themselves are not enough to make us mature or complete. I want you to understand that. We're not enough to make you mature. He also gave us his word, his written word, what we call the Bible. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul speaking to Timothy, he wrote, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete." Again, that word. "Thoroughly equipped for every good work." So in these two scriptures, God has given, Jesus gave ministry gifts to the church, but God himself gave his word so that we can become complete. And we need them both. So when Paul said all scripture, that includes both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I know that many of you like to read just a little bit of the New Testament, and some of you have never touched Leviticus. So there are some terms here. It talks about doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. What is all that? Well, we're going to look at those terms. When he says inspired, all scripture is inspired of God. It means that there was a unique relationship between the Holy Spirit and the writers of the Bible. The Holy Spirit guided those writers of the scriptures in such a way as to bring the written word of God to mankind without errors or omissions. Then he talks about doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is a belief that is taught and learned. That's a simple definition of it. So the Bible is good for doctrine, so that we can learn and be taught some things, some beliefs that we can hopefully stand on. Then he talks about reproof. The word reproof means to bring conviction or to bring an evidence about sin in our lives. Then he talked about correction. A correction, when we are corrected, the aim of correction is to restore us to right standing with God. And then it had a term, instruction in righteousness. What that means is to conform each one of us to God's perfect will. So this is what the word is supposed to bring. It's inspired. It has doctrine. It has reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And that's all of the word. The Old Testament, the Bible is divided up into Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament reveals us God's plan to redeem man from sin and all the sin's consequences by sending a Savior, and to build an anticipation and an expectation for this Savior to come. That's what the Old Testament came up all the way to Malachi. And then we have the New Testament, where actually the Savior comes into the scene of earth. And so we see the Savior being revealed to all of mankind. And then after that, we see the revelation of the path of the church that God intended for each one of us. Doctrine, encouragement, guidance. In the book of Psalms, chapter 18, verse 30, the psalmist wrote, "As for God, his way is perfect." You know, that's a given. God's ways are perfect. Then he says, "The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him." So that word of the Lord is proven. In other words, not only did he give us something perfect, he has shown it to be perfect all through its own content. There's no errors in scripture. Man has made a few errors in while copying. You know, we didn't have the printers like, you know, they didn't have printers like we do today. They have to copy everything by hand. And so in doing some of that, there were some minor errors done, but the essence of the principles are perfectly recorded for us to have and to follow and to be sure that it's a solid word of God for each one of us. And so the word of God has been proven to be true and solid, and we can bank on it. In John chapter 14, verse 26, He says, but the helper, this is Jesus talking to his disciples and to the crowd, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the living word. Who is the living word? Jesus. He will take from Jesus and give unto us. Jesus is the living word. But if we have never read or listened to the word, then we're not given the Holy Spirit the raw materials, the word, for him to work in us, to conform us to that which is in the word. And so, all along, I am presenting the sure foundation that the word brings to us and our necessity to know that word. Because, you know, all things will fade away. You know, there are fads come and fads go, and but the word of God stays, and that will last, and you can bank on it. Whereas, you know, termites eat houses and tornadoes and storms destroy them and all these things, but we can stand on the word because it's solid, solid. As a matter of fact, God thinks so much of his word that he declared this through the psalmist in Psalm 138. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Wow, that is a big statement from the psalmist, inspired of God. Hopefully you have already learned that when you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And you should know that there is no other name more powerful than the name of Jesus. It's a name that has been given to each of us believers. Well, he tells us in this word that his word is magnified above his name. So if you thought the name of Jesus was powerful, God is telling us his word is exalted higher than his name. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? Sceva was a Jewish priest in the time of the book of Acts. In fact, it was chapter 19 of the book of Acts. And Paul was casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And these seven sons of Sceva were exorcists, Jewish exorcists. They were not born again. But they saw Paul doing exorcism and demons being cast out. And they said, well, we can do that. You know, we can use the name of Jesus too. And they went and say, you know, they went to a possessed man in a house. And they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Get out. And the devil turned around within the person that he had possessed. And he spoke to the seven sons of Sceva and said, Jesus we know, Paul I know, but who are you? Well, you know, they used the name of Jesus, but they didn't use it according to the written word. The name of Jesus has to be used by a follower of Jesus with faith in the work of Jesus. And so these guys just wanted to follow a format. We're pretty good at comfortable and at, you know, at peace following formats, but we have to make sure that those formats are based on the word and not just in the minds of people. Well, the devil whipped them. They left that house naked and all sorry, I'm sure. So, you can use the name of Jesus, but if it's not used according to the word, it doesn't do you any good. In fact, you can get in deep trouble if you don't watch it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the prophet prophesied and said, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever." Forever. Forever is eternity. In other words, that the word will never lose its power, its authority, its supremacy. He, God himself, has bound him, even though he is all-powerful, he is omnipotent, he can do anything, he has bound himself to his own word. And so, even though he is powerful to do whatever, he has said, "I'm going to limit myself to what I write and inspire in this word." So, sometimes we think, you know, God can do anything. Well, no. I mean, he can, but he chose not to. He said, "I'm going to limit myself to what I declare in my word that I will do." And here we find ourselves hoping to live a long life in joy and peace and prosperity, and we find time for just about everything that we want to do except to read and learn what is in God's word. True or false? True. We're all guilty to a certain point, some more than others. Sometimes you hear sermons and you get confused because you don't know what the pastor is talking about. That pastor gets wound up and I lose him. Probably because you don't have a good foundation in the word. And so I have said all of this as an introduction because I want to talk about how to pray and how to get our prayers answered. The importance of knowing the word gets really down to a very important subject in our aspect of praying to our Father. So if you have a pen or a pencil, I urge you to take notes. You got a bulletin probably with the back page probably blank. I'll talk about steps to get our prayers answered by our Heavenly Father according to the words of the Bible. And I've got at least 7 steps. So make sure you got room for the steps and some comments in it. Step number 1. Determine what you want from the Lord. Be specific. Some of us say, "Oh Lord, save the world." You know. Well, you know, that's an honorable prayer, but it's just like you shooting 200 feet at a little bit of target with a shotgun, and you're hoping that one of those little beads would hit it. God wants you to be specific. Be specific at what you ask him. So determine what you want from the Lord. Be specific. And then find out if that which you are wanting from the Lord is found in the Bible. And if you are the candidate to receive that. I mean, God gave gifts unto men. And he chose the ones that he had given them to. And, you know, I would have loved to be a prophet and you know, do these great miracles and signs and wonders. But I'm not called for that. I knew my calling pretty soon after I got born again. And I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And if that's what God wanted me to do, that was his will for me. And that is his will for me. Why would I want to ask something else that is not his will? Probably get me in trouble. I know at one point, one of the kings of Israel, God told the prophet Isaiah to go and tell him, "Get your house in order, you're going to die. Your time is up." And the king, "Oh God, I've been so good with you. I've done this, that, and the other. I've been a good king and I've done what you asked me to. I don't want to die. And God told the prophet, okay, prophet, turn around, go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. God healed him, gave him 15 more years. He messed up so royally that all of Israel, Judah was in trouble after that. He just messed up. He should have just gone when the Lord told him it was time, and he would have been remembered greatly. But he royally messed up. Sometimes we ask things of God that is not his will, and sometimes in his permissive desire for you and me, he allows things to happen that really are not the best. And that's why we need to know, what is his will for me? You know, some people think, well, God just punished me with sickness. You need to know that that's not from God. It is not God's will for you to be sick. And if you don't know that it is in the Word, then you get sick and, well, I guess God has allowed this for a reason. No, God did not allow that for a reason. You allowed it because you believed the lies of the enemy. God is the healer, not the enforcer of sickness. But if you don't read the Word and find out the truth, you see, this Word, the Bible, it's truth, it's spirit and truth. And so if we don't know what we're supposed to ask God, then we're wishy-washy. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me get here ahead before I get in trouble. God's word is his will. I want you to hear that again. God's word is his will. And so if you don't find it in the word, then you can rightly deduce the fact that it's not his will if it's not found in the word. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We just said his word is his will. So if we ask anything according to his word, his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, this knowing that what I'm asking is in the word, and God said, yes, you can have this, then we have the assurance and we can stand surely. I ask the right thing. I ask it of God. He hears when I ask him about my situations according to his will. And if he hears, he will answer. That brings confidence and it will help you stand to receive. Haven't you found yourself going to the grocery store? Maybe some of you young ones, you know, you're still sharp in your mind, but some of us a little older sometimes go to a grocery store, get a cart, and we forget what we were there for. And then we forgot to write it on the phone. We forgot, you know, many times on why we make a list in the kitchen, and we write, and she'd ask me and whatever, and then she went to the store and forgot the list. You cannot pray with confidence and faith if you don't know scriptures that prove that God wants you to have those things that you're desiring and asking for him. I'm sure you're hopeful. Well, I hope God in his mercy. But you cannot know for sure, because faith begins where the will of God is known. I want to repeat that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. and his word is his will. His word is his will for you and for me. All right, that's first step. You say, boy, that's first step. That's a lot of work. Yes. Second, ask God what you want and believe that you receive it. That's a toughie, buddy. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to go back to it because I know some of you are looking and trying to write down quickly. Ask God what you want and believe that you receive it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus speaking said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Well, if God knows, why should I ask? Because he said so. He said for you and for me to ask. In fact, next verse, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So not only ask the Father, now you can ask Jesus directly. And disciples had never asked anything to Jesus. They were just soaking it and learning it. And Jesus said, "You haven't asked anything of me. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." In Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," and this is Jesus speaking, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done, he will have whatever he says." It doesn't say whatever you wish or whatever you think. It says whatever you say. You declare. "Therefore," verse 24, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now that's a toughy one so many times. We want to ask for God, but we're just, you know, we're eating worms down on the floor, we're miserable, things are not going right, and we're just down in the mouth. "Oh God, come to my rescue." Well, God is saying here, believe that you receive when you pray. Not when it shows up, but when you pray. And that is especially challenging when you're sick. You know, you are overcome by a multitude of symptoms and you're dying. And you know Jesus is your healer. And you know that he took stripes on his back for our healing. But all you can muster to say is, "God, come and heal me. I'm dying." And we don't take the corresponding action. We ask. We believe that we receive right then and there. And like I say, you have to train at doing the right kind of prayer. But we have to start somewhere. Truth is not what you can perceive with your senses. Jesus said, "The word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life." So, if the word is truth, then the word is what I need to stand on. The problem is we are beings that we rely so much in our senses. And when you declare, I am debt free, and you look over on the desk and you see those bills. Well, that doesn't look that debt free to me. You're not led by the senses. You cannot look at things in the natural. If you want to receive spiritual blessings, you can't act in the natural. You have to follow spiritual principles. And Jesus says, believe that you receive when you ask, and you will have. In the name of Jesus, I claim the prosperity. Father, you said that you feed all the birds of the air, all the animals, and you say you will take care of my needs. Father, I got a need here. I declare and I ask you to bring in. Father, I am obedient in my giving and prompt that you give me to give to others. Father, I got a debt here. I am asking you to take care of it. And I receive that answer in Jesus' name. And you thank God. We'll get into that in a minute. But you have to believe that God heard you and he's going to answer you. You know, we have kids that, small children, as you saw him a while ago. You know, they come to mom and dad and they ask for some stuff. And of course, hopefully they're not children of cruel parents that are always telling them, yeah, one thing, and then never follow through. Kids believe that what parents tell them is the truth. Mommy, I want this, you know, and I want that. Yeah, honey, I'll get it for you. And they go, happy, yeah, I'm going to get it. They don't doubt. We, on the other hand, well, I don't know. God seems to be a little slow. I am not seeing any of this that I ask of him. I wonder if he's busy doing something in China and he forgot about me. Maybe I didn't pray loud enough. Maybe this, maybe that. You talked yourself out of the answer. Don't rely on your senses for spiritual things. That's why God says he's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth, the word. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, we rely so much on our physical senses that we forget that without faith it is impossible to please God and get anything from him. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's not that he will bless us. It is in past tense. It's a done deal. You know, God sat on the seventh day and he rested from his work. Says, I'm done. Jesus rose from the dead and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on God. And he said, redemption has been purchased for mankind. All of it. All that man needs, I have already paid for, is there for the taking. We just forgot how to get it and take it. We want to use our own reasoning. And God said, you only take it according to my word. And we forgot that faith is necessary. So, everything has been given for us to have life and godliness. We just need to appropriate it properly. Okay, so that was number two. Number two was ask God what you want and believe that you receive it. Number three, be positive and determined in your thinking. You know, there have been books that have been written called The Battle of the mind. You know, it seems like the spiritual battles are fought in our heads, in our minds. And that has a lot of truth to it. So when it says to be positive and determined in your thinking after you have prayed, you have to let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you've asked for. Remember, when you prayed, you believed that you received, but the enemy comes and whispers, I don't see that in you. You're not healed yet. In fact, you look pathetic. You look sick. You need to go to a doctor. You're broke. Look at your bank account. Look at your bills. Look at what a wreck you are. You're asking healing from God and you're a mess. Let every thought and desire affirm that you have. You have to fight back those thoughts. Doubt is the enemy. Doubt comes from the enemy. Resist him. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, now, a lot of people like to quote this scripture and they leave a very important part. Many people says, oh, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, the first part of it says, submit to God. If you are going to resist the devil on your own strength, you're in for a fall. So we have to submit to God first. God, your word says that if I ask according to your will, you hear me and you bring my petition. I know it's mine already. It will show in the natural, but I know that I got it in the spirit. And then Satan comes, you don't have anything. Look at you. Resist the devil. Declare to him, how did Jesus fight the enemy in the wilderness? He says, it is written. Jesus had to quote scripture to the enemy to resist him. How much more should we? Now, he is the living word. I'm sure he knew all of it. So he quoted it back at the enemy, and the enemy wanted to use some scripture out of context. And Jesus straightened him out. Where am I? James. Get rid of any image, suggestion, vision, dream, impression, feeling, and any thought that does not affirm that you have what you have asked for. You have to protect your mind from the enemy coming in and stealing what you already claim is yours. I need to fight. Believe me. We are spirit beings, but we have a soul and we live in a body, and that soul and body, you know, they want to take in charge. They want to have control. And if I feel something, I want to complain. Stay in the spirit, stay in the fear. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we walk in this physical body, we have a soul that feels and likes to follow feelings. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We cannot fight the enemy with our body or with our minds. We have to fight him with our spirits. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So that we are in a warfare. And you know where that warfare takes place mostly? It says it next. Casting down arguments. In fact, the King James says imaginations. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, the enemy will come with reason. You say you're healed, but you're sick. I mean, you got a fever, you got a cough, you got the flu, you got COVID. In fact, you can't get out of your house. You stay in bed. Feel sorry for yourself. Call the doctor. Have him deliver the medicine for you. You cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that includes your body saying, give me a pill. Give me a shot or something. I'm dying here. No, you're not dying. You just ask for healing. Believe that you receive it. Walk in it. Start doing something you knew you couldn't do before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Faith confession creates reality. I want to say that again. The confession of faith that comes out of your mouth based on the word will create the reality around you. You know, we usually work the other way around. We wait till we feel healed and then we claim, hey, God healed me. Well, that's not the way God operates. God says, you ask, believing in me, knowing that it's my will, you claim it. It is done in the spirit. And he will bring the reality of wellness in the physical body. That's the way it operates. Now, the problem is, between your declaration of the word of God and the manifestations in the natural, there could be some time. Sometimes longer, sometimes it manifests very quick. But in the meantime, you have to protect your declaration, your thinking, your believing, your stand in faith. Fighting in the spirit is using the sword of the spirit, speaking the word of God out of your mouth, because you believe it in your heart that it is so. You know, most people will stand up and defend what naturally belongs to them. Somebody comes into your house trying to steal something, you get a gun, you start shooting like crazy. And the natural will do that. Let's do the same in the spirit. Regarding spiritual things, Jesus has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we let the enemy steal them from us. And we don't fight. Oh, okay, I guess I'm not healed. I'm getting worse. This is not working. May not be working, but it's not because God's word is not true. It's because you didn't fight the good fight of faith. Number four. Okay, you are specific. You found your petition in the word. You ask God what you want and believe then that you received it. You are being positive and determined in your thinking. The fourth one goes in line with third. Protect or guard your mind. What we think is pretty much governed by what we observe, what we associate with, and what we're taught. Those things influence our thoughts. You watch raunchy movie, you will have raunchy thoughts, and probably raunchy dreams too. You got to watch, you got to protect yourself from the enemy getting a doorway into your spirit and stealing your word. A good offensive and defensive scripture that I found out, in fact, I memorized it some time ago because I needed to fight. I was doing a lot of spiritual battles. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, you know, after you have done all the right confession, the right believing, the declaration, then he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. Those are the things I need to be thinking on. And so, as we choose not to think anything but that, then we'll stand in God's perfect will, and we will protect from the enemy coming in and stealing our goods. Number five, obviously I just mentioned meditation. Think on these things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Very good scripture verse to memorize. My son, give attention to my words. This is God speaking to us. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health. In fact, one scripture, that word health can be interpreted as medicine. They are life to those who find them, and medicine to all their flesh. We need to see ourselves with the answer. We need to visualize ourselves. I am healed. I am debt free. God took care of this. God provided this. You may not have it yet. You have to see it here first before it will show up in the natural. Your spirit has to see you with the answer before it shows up in the natural. And the weight depends on how good of a battle you do. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Abiding, that means don't give room for the enemy. Stay with the Lord. Stay with his word. Good, honest, true, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, all of those kind of thoughts. I'm abiding with the Lord and his goodness. God told Joshua in chapter 1 verse 8 that in order for him to succeed, he had to meditate on the word and not let it depart from his mouth. What does that mean? Think it here, get it here, and let it come out in a declaration. Number six, be thankful. You see, it comes automatic. I know God wants me to have this. I find it in the word. I need it. I claim it. And I say, Father, I'm asking you for this. Your word says I can have it. I thank you that you've already given it to me. I receive it right now, and I give you praise and start acting like you did, because you just did in the spirit, and it will show up in the natural. We have to have a grateful and thankful heart before God to receive. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for not, don't let anxiety take over you. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it, you don't have it. If you claim it properly, you have the petition that you requested if you follow the first five steps. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And finally, I thought of one that should be added here. You know, we saw God working in something simple. Let's apply the principle for every kind of petition. Whether it be your eyelids hurting, or it can be cancer in your stomach, or bankruptcy about to happen. When you petition to the Lord and you know what He has for you in the scripture, make every statement a statement of faith. God, you have said that you will meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. I declare that and I thank you. I believe you and I receive all of what you have for me and I thank you. I know you are a God of the universe and you love me with an unending love. Make your prayer a prayer of faith whenever you pray. Don't just do scatter shot prayers that you hope to get somewhere. Know for sure. Be specific. Don't use a shotgun. Use a rifle with a very good scope and aim for the right center. You can only do that when you know that that is found in Scripture. Well, I have pounced at you for a while, so I'm going to quit now. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your principles that, Lord, you took time to write, to inspire men to write for us so that we can know your perfect will for every one of our situations. Lord, you knew what was going to be involved in our lives, and Lord, you made provisions for all of it, not just some. And Father, you promise us for us to have life in abundance. And you sent Jesus and he paid it all so that we can have it all. But Father, we know by your word that there's a process to receive anything from you. And so Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us in the dark. You told us how to appropriate those things that you have already freely given to us, that we may benefit and that we may, in receiving those things, give you glory and honor. Father, may our lives be constant example of worship and praise to you as we receive all things that you have given us, that we are able to appropriate, benefit, bless others, and give glory and honor. For you are true and honest. And Father, we just thank you. I pray for your congregation, Father. I pray that every one of us will learn how to flow with the instruction that you have given us. And Father, be able to say with all of your saints, Lord, you are faithful who promised to deliver what you promised. And Father, we just thank you for the testimonies that will be heard. Father, we bless your people, and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If anybody needs prayer, we're ready to declare God's word over you in Jesus' name.